All right, I've pressed the record button now. Let's hope it works. Welcome to the Lovejoy Hour, sponsored by Cooker, 100 degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. I just can't imagine not having one now. It's great for the environment as well, as it uses a vacuum to keep the water hot rather than heating it constantly, though I'm not sure really how a vacuum works and how the new water comes in the tank whilst the old water stays hot. It's a mystery. I think I must have skipped that science lesson. Anyway, on today's podcast, I'm going to have an hour of chat with Mark. As a little treat,
Hi Mark.
This is a little treat for those of you who enjoy listening to us talk nonsense. And I like to call this the midweek Mark hour.
So very catchy, very catchy.
It is. How are you, Mark? We just did a whole long bit and I forgot to press the record button.
Well, let's not hold this pretense up any longer. You know I'm fine. we've already done it. I'm no good at lying.
And we discussed your new mic.
And
it's a beautiful mic because he's gone for a mic which hangs down now off an arm. It looks very pro. I like it, Mark.
Yeah, I'm pleased. I'm very pleased with it. Does it sound okay?
It sounds beautiful, yeah. Now, before I carry on, I must state that I might be giving advice out during this podcast. I'm not trained as a doctor or a therapist. In fact, I'm not trained at anything. So never forget, if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. And as we all know, that is a horrible
idea. It's terrible. It's horrible.
Can you imagine going to your therapist and going, well, yeah, I've been doing this. And they go, why are you doing that? Well, there's a bloke off telly.
All over it. Imagine going to your therapist and behind them, they haven't got any certificates. They've just got like pictures of them with like Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
Are you a psychotherapist? No, I'm a TV presenter.
I've never interviewed Noel Edmonds. He's one of the greats that I've never had a chance to interview. So what have you been up to, Mark? Anything exciting?
You remember I was doing Dry January?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm not anymore.
Oh, what happened? Well, we're not out of January now, so what happened, Mark?
Well, three weeks in, I got an invite to a 40th birthday on Zoom, and I thought, oh, it's going to be lots of people I don't know, and, you know, these things are always a little bit uneasy, aren't they? You don't know what it's going to be like, so I just thought, ah, well.
So you had
a few.
I think that's valid, three weeks though, isn't it?
3 weeks is all right, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a valid thing, though. If you don't want to be boring, do you? And you don't want to sit there doing nothing. I've always thought with Zoom, the great thing is, though, if you are getting bored with it, you can just freeze, can't you? Exactly like that. You just, like, if you're ever
those sort of jokes work really well on podcasts. The one I just did.
You just freeze, and then if you can get your hand to secretly go around and just press end, then you're out of it. It's like the old phone call. You go, sorry, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Hello. Ah, oh, brilliant.
I've been listening since you mentioned it. I've been listening to the Bee Gees a lot. The 60s stuff.
Yeah,
and? It's so good, isn't it?
Well.
They're great, although I do find. Do you not find that that Barry Gibb is a bit creepy, isn't he? Do you not find?
I don't know a lot about them apart from watching that documentary. For anyone who doesn't know, when we did our last podcast,
Tim, don't you find Barry Gibb a bit creepy?
Oh, sorry, Mark. Yeah, I do. I think.
Don't you find he sort of weirds you out a bit?
Yes, I do.
Don't you find that he gives you the heebie-beebies?
Oh, amazing! There you go. Apologies for being a terrible Sid Little. Terrible straight man there. Apologies for that.
That was good.
That was great, yeah. I did my skydiving joke on Sunday brunch.
Oh, did you? How did it go down?
It was brilliant.
How many Ofcom complaints?
It was fantastic because I managed just to slide it in there. We were discussing skydiving and I just threw it. It was so beautiful. I thought, here's my moment. This is the joke I wrote.
It's like you were sort of like the Messi of Sunday morning television.
It was like I was a proper stand-up comedian. It was great. Do you know what's happened to me, Mark, is I've spoken to... You know, I went on that psilocybin trial. I think I've discussed this on a few podcasts recently, so I'll quickly go through it. But I put myself on a trial to take psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms. It's illegal over here. And they set up a trial. You know, it's a proper official trial. And or that, so it was legal. And I had to take a couple of doses, and they MRI'd my brain and everything. And what they wanted to do is find people who had never taken hallucinogenics before, and I hadn't. So,
right,
you know, I don't take drugs. So it was like one of those things that I thought I'd try. And I said, I'm going to do a podcast with the people.
Oh, cool. Oh, that'd be good.
What was great was speaking to the woman who actually organized there. And she said there's been some just amazing results. And I don't want to give shall I tell you anything, or will I be giving it away?
A little bit of a teaser. Be good.
Okay, a little bit of a teaser is they notice there's a lot of changes in the brain.
Okay.
Superpowers, Mark. Superpowers.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it there. I'm smarter than you now.
I enjoyed your Tom Cheesewright podcast. Actually, thought that was really good.
I like talking to him about
it. He's great, isn't he?
I just really like looking forward, and sort of it's kind of my form of, you know, I'm not a massive fan of gambling, but that's the sort of gambling I like, is having a, you know, trying to predict what's happening in the future and seeing what comes of it. You know,
Have you seen Elon Musk's doing it? He's got a new car.
No, no, Mark. Oh, brilliant. Here we go. Has he? Well, no, go on.
Well, what they're doing is they've found this sort of recyclable wooden composite.
Yeah.
So they can build it. So they've got basically like wooden axles, wooden wheels, wooden chassis.
Amazing.
Do you know what happened in the test?
No, what?
It wouldn't go.
Oh, my days.
And I'm all out of jokes now.
Which one's my favorite? I think.
Heebie-beebies. Do you like that?
Yeah, that's better. That's just a lovely, nice. That's just a great joke that I could. Yeah. That's like I love that one. Yeah. What have you been watching?
I did actually enjoy the Tom Cheesewright one. That wasn't a setup.
All right. What did you? I watched Rose Island because you recommended it to me.
Oh yeah, did you enjoy that?
I loved it. Yeah, because you weren't sure whether I'd like it. Were you?
Because it's quite silly in places.
But what I liked, but it's based on a true story like that. I like anybody who sort of, you know, who take on the system. And I just thought it was a really nice film.
It's an Italian Netflix film on Netflix, isn't it? It's Italian Netflix production. And it's about a guy who builds an island so 6 miles off the coast of Italy. So he's in international waters, so he can basically have his own state and his own country. Yeah. And is it the UN or NATO? It's UN as he talks to and tries to get make it an official thing. And the Italians do their best to stop him, and all sorts of things happen.
And it's subtitled.
Yeah.
Which means that I have to, the language is beautiful, isn't it? But it's subtitled, which means I have to concentrate. And I've found that I can only watch things if they're subtitled now.
Yes, same here.
Because my phone addiction since the pandemic, I try my hardest, but I can't help it.
Can't you just put it upstairs or something? Can't you just put it upstairs?
Yeah, but that's not how addictions work, is it?
Right, can't you just put the heroin upstairs?
It's not how it works. It sits there next to me. And because you go there for, you know, a spurious reason. Or, you know, make sure all my relatives are all right. Better check my phone.
Right, okay.
And then end up surfing through it. So I have been watching Call My Agent. I think it's the full series now. That French.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, have you watched any of it?
No, I haven't actually.
I'm not sure whether I can recommend it or not. It's kind of lighthearted and it's okay. Did you ever watch Suits? The thing with the
no.
All right, okay. No.
Mark
and all that line. Well, it's kind of like that. It doesn't really go anywhere. It's just lighthearted TV. But it's in subtitles, so you have to. I'm sounding pathetic here, aren't I? But I mean, I'm even struggling with the football. I'm thinking, can't they put the football in subtitles? Actually, I probably could switch the subtitles on, but then it'll get all in the way of the football, won't it? So there you go. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm struggling to watch the football. As soon as anything happens, if it gets slightly boring, I'm like, oh, I'm bored of this.
I haven't watched it for months.
Haven't you?
No. I told you, I've given it up. That and social media, all gone.
Why have you given up football?
I was just getting fed up with it. As you say, I was finding it boring when you're losing, and when you're winning, it's like, well, we should be, you know. And I just thought the VAR stuff and some of the penalty things I've just not agreed with, and I'm just getting too cross. I just thought, I don't need this in my life. If you spend 2 hours watching a football match, you can spend 2 hours watching a really good film or going for a walk or something.
Well, the problem is you're right about going for a good walk. I've said this before. This is going to carry on dragging on, this pandemic, isn't it? We're in this for a good few months, if not a year, if not years. Yeah. I don't know. It's a long haul. And I worry about having a Netflix addiction as well, because it's just easy to fill the gaps with Netflix. And I do find that, you know, because you used to be out, didn't you, sometimes? Yeah. Now you're in every night. It's very easy just to go, oh, watch another thing on Netflix.
But I think that Netflix, you know, let's not pick on Netflix, it's Amazon Prime as well. You know, they do it as well. I think that will go when you can go out again. I think if someone calls you and says, do you fancy go for a pint? You're not going to say, well, I'm watching the Lion, whatever it's called, for the 45th time. Or
yeah,
it is.
Exactly. Though I do worry that I'm spending too much time doing it. I'm not living enough of my life, and I'm living it precariously through actors
Mix it up a bit with audiobooks, with podcasts, with Netflix.
Have you watched It's a Sin?
I haven't. No, what's that?
Russell T. Davis thing. It's about a group of kids, gay guys and a straight girl. They all move into a flat and then AIDS hits. It's set over 10 years. And it's truly a remarkable piece of work. But, oh, my God, I've got to episode 3 and I've had to have a break.
Really?
It just takes you back. And because it's set in a time where, obviously, AIDS is a virus, and it sort of takes, it's so emotionally draining that I thought, oh, I'm going to have to wait till the pandemic's over before
really?
The end of this. I don't know, but I had to take a break from it because it dragged me in. So I remembered so much about it, how in the 80s we sort of went, yeah, liberation, it's great. You know, we've cured everything. We've cured racism. We've cured homophobia. We've cured it all. And then suddenly the AIDS thing happened, and then everything became very anti-gay for a while. Mm. Because, you know, sort of understandably in a way, but it was like, and you just remember all those horrible things happening. And Russell T. Davis is so good. You empathize with the characters so much. And it just sort of made me feel terrible all the way through it. It's kind of a real reminder of how important art is actually in interpreting, because it can make you feel and have empathy with characters. And I think it's so important that we make sure we're always investing in art, because art is really the way things happen, isn't it?
Storytelling is designed for us to gain empathy. I think that's why I watch films. Why you know, and I, as you say, the true story ones are always great as well, because then you start looking up what happened, and sometimes you get a bit of history that you've never even thought about. Like, I never knew about that thing on Rose Island. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, did I?
I love that sort of thing.
Well, Mark, I was thinking about a sitcom from years ago. You're too young for this probably, but there was a sitcom. I was really young, but it was called Mixed Blessings, about a black woman marrying a white guy.
Right.
Do you remember it?
No.
But I just, because they were so brilliant, and the whole thing was, it was set in, I don't know, maybe the 70s. And the whole thing was that all these people were, you know, there's all the racism, the Alf Garnett type thing going on around them and everything. But because you love them, I've never ever thought mixed relationships are a bad thing. And I wonder if it's a lot to do with influences of like that.
Possibly, yeah.
Which happened in my lifetime, because it's art being given to you. And that's why, you know, it's quite possibly,
I would say, yeah.
It's important. Right, okay, let's get on to what's annoying us. Do you want to start or shall I start?
Up to you. Go on, you go first.
All right. Okay. What annoys me, Mark, is fucking fireworks. I've had it with fireworks. I first of all, I find them boring.
Yeah.
Secondly, they go on for too long. Thirdly, they always have to be, people have to always do it really late at night.
Yep.
And there seems to be an abundance of them at the moment. I think, you know, people got to understand that, you know, if you do 5 minutes worth of, or 2 minutes or 1 minute worth of fireworks, maybe that's all right. But when you go for like 10 minutes, the animals and pets are absolutely terrified. All creatures out there are terrified. So for that length of duration, it's pretty horrific. And the thing that I find more horrific about it is the price of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have to do this constantly, right? If you're going to do New Year's Eve celebrations, we'll go to that one. And then I'm going to talk about the inauguration, but New Year's celebrations, right? 20 seconds of fireworks. We've all seen it. Fantastic. A load of stuff in the air, explosion. They spent £1.5 million on the fireworks at in London, this is, for New Year's Eve, I saw the other day. I'm like,
how much was it?
£1.5 million on fireworks. Now, Jesus, are they not reading the room? We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's like Marcus Rashford is trying to get 30 quid meals to kids. You know, that's 50,000 30 quid meals for kids. You know, it's 50,000 of them. What the hell are we thinking about doing that in the middle of a pandemic when people are losing their jobs and there's all this stuff? The inauguration, they cost between, I mean, it's America, nothing to do with this, but between 100 and 200 million quid to put on an inauguration. The amount they spent on fireworks is insane. And I just think, for what? It literally is, and I use that word right correctly, money going up in smoke. It's just a load of bangs. It's pathetic.
I don't understand how, if you're an adult, I understand children may get excited, but I think I'm gonna maybe offend a few people here. I think if you're an adult and you like fireworks, I think you're thick. Because
no, that is, because, that is your opinion, not mine. I don't.
Okay, because listen, funny. Listen, because right, what is it? What is it essentially? It's light and sound. We don't sit in front of the television going, ooh, ooh, do we? And I thought
you were going to say, and you know what? If you do like fireworks, grow up. You went even further. You went, you're thick.
You are. And how are we still getting amazed at this? We've got the internet. We don't sit around computers going, woo-wee. That's light and sound. Much, much more impressive.
Hold on. When you first see it, like, I just think they should last 30 seconds, 20 seconds.
Just ban them.
Just get a few bangs and
you if you know. Like, if you like that so much, move to a fucking war zone. I hate them.
I've clearly hit.
Myrtle has to hide under the. My cat has to hide. She's actually shaking. I can't stand it. Yeah, it gets me so riled.
There seems to be more opportunities for fireworks all the time now.
Well, it's also a Halloween, isn't it? And this, you know, the weird thing that we still celebrate. Hanging a Catholic, you know. I mean, I think it's so weird that we celebrate that still.
Well, I'm just not sure about the money. Mark, talking about hard times.
Oh God! hang on. Is that an Uber driver outside? I think he's delivering a joke. He's coming up the garden path.
Mark. Talking about hard times, Mark. My friend lost his job at Ryanair. Yeah, but you know what? He managed to...
Tim, that is not how jokes work. You don't fill in the bits I'm supposed to say.
Well, no, I'm just...
Start it again. No, come on.
It's not a joke, Mark. This is a genuine story.
Come on.
My friend lost his job at Ryanair, Mark.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he managed to set up a company somehow selling Viagra online. I asked him how it was going and he said it was very hard. I'm so proud of that joke.
And it's always smut with you, isn't it, Tim? It's always smut.
That's from my blue tour.
My blue tour.
And that joke continues, Mark, onto where I join him to make ends meet. But I was worried about...
Oh, dear, no.
Come on. That joke, you see, that joke only works if it's being played out in your mind. So if you're envisaging penises, that's the only way it works, Mark. So, you know. Anyway, have you got anything you're annoyed about this week?
Well, it's a small thing. It's a perennial problem, but in particular, there's one issue I have at the moment, which is litter, anyway, really irritates me. It really gets me down. But in particular at the moment is these paper masks. Do people think they're biodegradable? They are absolutely everywhere. Have you noticed? People just take off and go, oh, I don't need that anymore. I'll just put it on the floor and then that's it. There's hundreds of them.
I wondered, being fair, are they slipping out of people's pockets sometimes?
I don't know. They'll be the same people who like fireworks, though. Just go, oh, I just dropped that on the floor.
Can I tell you what I did the other day, right? I never, ever litter. And the other day I was like all over the place. I was confused. It was last year, in fact. And I got my coffee cup and I finished my coffee and I was carrying too many things. I looked around for a bin and I couldn't find a bin. And so I put my coffee cup down. It was on a train station floor. I put my coffee cup down by a post. I thought, well, there'll be someone around in a minute to clean it up. Got on the train. I was feeling so guilty. I went back.
Did you? Oh, good for you. Good for you. No, I'd be exactly the same.
I just thought, I'm doing the thing that I absolutely hate. And I got, and I'm like, why did I do that? Why can't I just take it home with me? So I just took it home with me. But it's just not me at all to do that. I'm really a stickler for not rubbishing. Right now, Rich has tweeted in saying, do you have a regime to look after your bald head? Asking for a friend. I've been talking a bit about being bald recently and shaving all my hair off. I think people are talking about it more for some reason. I don't know why. But I don't really know that. For some reason, people seem to be interested in it. I think a lot of men in lockdown might be thinking about shaving their head. Obviously, yours is really shaved short. I don't have a regime. Do you? Mine's just low maintenance.
It's great. I just I take the comb off a set of clippers and then just shave it completely all over, have a shower, and then I apply some tea tree cream onto it.
I've still got some... I'm laughing because I know what's coming. I've still got some pots. I bought a bumper load of pots of Regain. I thought that would heal me. So I'm still doing that. But there's like you have to use so little now because I've got no hair. But I still thought, I don't think so. Look at I've got nothing left, really. I'm going really.
I know, but you shaved it, so I wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, but I've lost a lot. It's funny, a lot has come out in the last year. Did yours just suddenly fall out in one go?
No, this is about 5 or 6 years ago, I went for a haircut. And they did, you know, the mirror at the back, and they showed me the mirror, and there was like, it was thinning enough for me to be aware of it. And I said, were you going to tell me that I'm going bald? And she said, well, it's not really for me to say, is it? And I paid her, but then I went home and shaved my head and that was it.
Do you know what? It's I keep catching myself in the monitor. And there's one thing about having shaved head, but this other thing is when you see the bald patch.
Oh, you see the bald patch at the back. Yeah, I've got that.
So I've got another tweet. Would you rather have hair?
Sometimes I would. Sometimes I think, oh, that guy's got cool hair. I'd like to cut it like that.
Yeah.
And then other times I think, oh, I just couldn't be bothered with it. I couldn't be bothered worrying about it.
Knowing you for the years when you did have hair, I can't really remember you with hair that much, but I do remember you enough that you look better without hair.
Look ridiculous. When I look back, I see if someone sends me a photo of me with hair. It looks like a wig now.
Yeah, none of us wanted to say at the time, but
I look like Mike Flowers Pops.
Pat has tweeted me to say, ever thought of a hair tattoo, micropigmentation? So. Do you know about this?
No.
I went down that rabbit hole. My goodness. So what they do is they get the tattoo gun and they tattoo little specks on your head so that even when you've shaved your head, it looks like you've got, you know, the full head.
Yeah, the full thing. Okay. So,
and it looks amazing online. It really does look good. And I thought, yeah, this is for me. But I went and I looked at some of the pictures and I really went in close up on them. And I think you can see, I don't know, someone could let us know, but I think...
I mean, imagine if you're out in the pub, if you're at the pub or somewhere and someone said, have you tattooed some hair on your head? And you'd feel like such a...
And with all these things, what you have to do is you have to look at what goes wrong because you've got to look at the bad pictures.
Well, I'll tell you what happens.
That's terrible.
I'll tell you what happens to tattoo ink after a few years. It goes green.
I went all through that because I had that exact same thought process and I looked at it because I thought, I might do that. That looks good. And then what happens is they say they haven't got any metal used in there, which is why it goes green. It will never, ever, ever fade. Right. Yeah, of course it won't. Right. I looked into the cost of it and it depends on how much you want. Done small patches of treatment can be 800 to 1500 quid. Crown with hairline work can be from 1000 upwards and a full procedure will usually cost in the region of 2000 to 3,500 grand. So
is that like a full beard? You tattoo a full beard on?
Well, people do they do it on their they do it on their eyebrows and stuff, and people with just thinning hair do it as well because it just gives you a you know.
Yeah, I don't fancy the thought of that.
No. All right, listen, Mark,
go on.
What we started doing on a regular basis now with my friends, you know, Mark knows this. This is why I'm bringing it up. Is I've started doing a quiz with my mates, a pub quiz, and the way we do it is it's just different. It's everyone brings five questions to the party. Okay. So you can never really find a winner, but it means everyone sets questions and everyone answers questions. I just thought that was a really easy idea. Though, so I've got some questions to try on you, and you've written some questions for me, haven't you, to give it a go, because I think people are answering. What's interesting about it is when my mates turned up the first week they did it, it's like these questions were so hard. Because
right.
Everyone just thinks, oh, I'll make them really hard to make myself look really intelligent. There was rounds where people getting zero. Most of the rounds they were getting zero. All the ones I did were between three and four. I think someone got five of mine right, or five right. But I think it's the idea is to make them easy enough to do it. So I've got some questions for you, and you've got some questions for me. Shall I start with my first one, and then you can go into yours? Right, my first one. Okay.
Let's get a pen.
I'm in the kitchen, Mark, and I've got these ingredients. What am I making? So you're going to know this so easily. Don't shout it out straight away.
No, of course not.
The listener might want to. You have got olive oil. You've got garlic. You've got grated hard cheese. You've got basil, and you've got pine nuts. What are you making, Mark?
I know. Yeah.
What is it?
Do you want me to tell you now?
Yeah.
It's pesto.
Yeah. That's too easy, is it?
That's kind of a good question. No, if you don't cook, it's not.
All right. How about try this one? You're right. You're in the kitchen.
Yep.
And you've got bicarbonate of soda, unsalted butter, black treacle, dark muscovado sugar, free-range eggs, flour, baking powder, double cream, and dates.
Oh, that's tough.
Do you think that's tough?
That's quite a hard one. I don't know that. I have to say, I'm not really up on my sweet baking or cooking. I'm not that guy.
I might go with that one then the next time I do it. Because I thought the dates gave it away.
No, they don't. I was going to go, when you were saying those first ones, I thought it was going to be like, what's the inside of crunchies?
Oh, caramel, yeah.
Like that honeycomb. Yeah. I thought that's what it was going to be. No.
It's a pudding. It's a famous pudding.
Oh, is it a Christmas pudding? Or is it figgy pudding?
No.
Or,
It's a famous sticky pudding.
Sticky toffee pudding.
That's it. Yeah.
It's a famous sticky pudding made of toffee. Yeah.
I might go with the pesto one because I think most people get that. That's good. Right. Go on then. Give me some of your questions.
Well, I say what I've done here is I'm going to name five celebrity autobiographies and I want you to tell me who they're by.
Amazing.
All right. You can steal this for your quiz if you like.
All right. I will do.
First one's very easy. Number one is Rags to Richie.
Oh, that would be Shane Richie.
Cool. Yeah. This one's a little bit harder. In the Time of Nick.
In the Time of Nick.
As in the nick of time.
Yeah. So is that Nick Berry?
No.
In the Time. So Nick. Okay. But I don't know that because it could be any Nick. Or is there something on the Time?
Newsreader and TV presenter Nick Owen.
Nick Owen. Okay. All right. Jesus.
This one's good. You'll like this. Go on. Kiss and make up.
Kiss and make up. Kissinger. Henry Kissinger. It's make up. So it's Julian Clary.
No.
It's Alan Carr. No,
he doesn't wear makeup.
Who wears makeup? Kiss and make up. Is it a man or a woman?
It's a man.
Right, kiss and make.
Come on, think about the title. It's all in there. It's all in there.
Kiss and make up. It's someone in makeup, right?
Say it a little bit differently. Put the emphasis on the first bit.
Kiss and make up. Oh, it's someone from Kiss, the band Kiss.
Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Gene Simmons. There you go.
That's a great title, Kiss and Makeup.
That's very good, yeah.
Okay, Larger Than Life.
Oh, Eddie Large.
Yes. And finally, my favourite one of all, Trowel and Error.
Trowel and Error. That's brilliant, but who is that? Trial and Error, Trowel and Error. Who's to call Trowel? Oh, no, it's Thingy, who does the gardening. What's his name? He used to have a chat show and everything. Is it? Am I right? It used to be Pebble.
You're very much going down the right garden path.
Pebble Mill guy. What was his name? I can't remember his name.
Alan Titchmarsh.
That's it. Correct.
Okay. Do you want a bonus one?
Go on.
Losing my virginity.
Is that a play on words as well? How's that a play on words? Losing my virginity. Is it Madonna?
Richard Branson.
Ah, good. I like it.
I'll send you those. You can use those.
That's good. All right. Okay. I'll ask you a couple more as well. Cool. What melts in your mouth, not in your hands?
Oh, it's a sweet, isn't it?
Of course it is.
What is it?
It's a really annoying, this one, isn't it? Because you know what it is. You know what it is, but it's just...
It's not a Trouble soft mint. It's something, it's like a... It's not a mint, is it?
People are shouting.
It's not a mint, is it?
No, it's not a mint. It's a chocolate.
Is it a Malteser?
No, close. It's an M&M.
Ah!
The thing is, that's been around since 1954. I know. But we had Smarties, didn't we? So we never had M&Ms until the last 10 years or 20 years or something. All right, this one. I'm going to try and do it off my phone. So you're going to have to tell me whether you can hear it or not. Okay. So it could be a bit of a problem because my phone, you know, my phone is just like, it's a iPhone X, now has zero battery and zero sound on it now. I mean, these things, it's just incredible how they just break, don't they? Right. So the idea is, Mark, you've fallen asleep. You've come on, you know, dry January's over and you've decided to get hammered. You ignored Boris and you went to Heathrow Airport. You went in and you were absolutely hammered though, and you went, I'd take a flight anywhere. You've flown through the night. You've blown all your cash. You've gone first class. You've drunk all the way there. You've landed. You've gone to the taxi driver, take me to a hotel. Gone into the hotel bar. You've gone and got absolutely hammered still. That's 48 hours worth of drinking or something, 24 hours. And you've woken up the next day in bed. You have no idea where you are. So you turn the TV on and this is the news. And you've got to tell me where you are. Okay, hold on.
Desafio para os empresários, como ser competitivo sem comprometer a qualidade de vida das futuras gerações. Esse foi o principal tema do encontro mundial realizado pela Organização das Nações Unidas em Genebra, na Suíça. Entre os representantes do Brasil na reunião esteve o presidente do grupo Zara.
Okay, well, it sounds like it feels like it's Eastern European over to Russia somewhere. That sort of way? No?
No, it's not.
That's amazing.
It's really not.
Because it started off sounding a little bit sort of almost like Mexican. And then it...
You're close with that.
Not close.
You are close with
Mexico. I am close with Mexico.
Yeah. She actually says it, innit? That was the clue. She said, during the thing, she says, Brazil. It was Brazil.
Oh, right. Okay, so I had no more guesses. Okay.
Do you like that one? What do you think?
That's good. That's a good idea. I like that.
Okay, and the final one I'm going to give you here is in biology, diamond knives. Well, biology, that was the category name I decided to go. Diamond knives are used in by which surgeons?
Diamond knives.
Diamond knives, yeah. And it is actually what it says on the tin. It's knives with diamonds.
Well, I mean, it's either for strength or for sharpness.
Oh, God, that's good. That's good, Mark. I love the way you're thinking.
So you would either use a diamond knife to cut through a bone, would you? Or you would use it for a very, 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 very intricate thing. So maybe I would say cutting through skull and then into the brain for brain surgery. No? No,
but you're right. You're going down the right lines. It's intricate. Where do you have to be careful?
Eyes.
Yes, Mark. Ah. Eyes.
Okay, I didn't know that. So they use diamond knives for eye surgery.
Yeah,
that's where they cut off the first bit of the eye, isn't it? That's the laser surgery thing, isn't it?
So I've got a friend. I've got.
No, Mark, that's lasers. Sorry.
I've got a fella I know, and he's an eye surgeon. And I saw him the other day walking down the street, and I said, my eyes have, like my hair, my eyes have just fallen off a cliff at the moment. Yeah. My eyes were fine until they were going a bit bad, Mark, for the last couple of years because I've been doing a bit of reading in them when you come over and do the podcast. But just recently, they've got really bad. I actually do think it could be just constant looking at phones, computers, and TVs and stuff. but I didn't ask him that question. The question I asked him was, what the hell can you do for my eyes? And he said, oh, it's really easy. I just come in. It's like an afternoon. I just whip off the, is it the cornea?
Yeah. You
the cornea, yeah. Go in. I'll change the shape of one of your lenses. You'll have one long sight, the normal, your normal eye, because I can see long sighted. And I just change one so it can see short sighted. And he just started so matter of fact. He said, yeah, make an appointment and come in and see me. I was like, I'm going to have someone going into my eye.
I can't even put contact lenses in my eyes. I don't like touching them. I remember a guy I used to work with a long time ago. He had laser eye surgery. Really, this is like a long time ago. So it was kind of like, it was pretty, it's still, you know, like a bit of a novelty for everyone. And then he went on holiday and his son kicked sand in his eyes and he had to be rushed to hospital and they had to take all the sand out because it had all got in where it all cut.
Apparently eyes though, Mark, because I'm reading Adam Kay's book. He's been on this podcast. Adam Kay's book.
Oh, yes. Which one?
With my daughter. It's called Kay's Anatomy. It's for kids.
Oh, it's the children's book. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you say that. I'm learning so much as an adult from that book. Eyes are really good at repairing themselves.
Right.
The one thing he says in the book, which is constant, you keep forgetting, you know, you cut yourself. Your body pretty much heals itself. We're pretty good at
days. It takes days. I cut myself constantly while I'm cooking. I always do it. And
it's the bone. You break your bone, they heal back.
Yeah. But you cut yourself you put plaster over it for a couple of days, or I use a spray on plaster. And within a couple of days, it's already sorting itself out. It's amazing.
Apparently brains don't heal. And this goes to the...
This podcast is testament to that, isn't it? I mean, it's just really... but 3 years ago, it started off reasonably intelligent.
Reasonably sane, yeah. But the idea that we're playing sport where we get our heads in the way, watching that. I don't really watch fighting stuff, but I don't like to actually watch the fights. I find it kind of makes... Everyone's going to go, oh, Lovejoy, you loser. But it makes me feel a bit queasy watching people fight all the time. I don't know. But I kind of like watching what happened in the end. I don't mind just seeing, like Conor McGregor had his fight this. Even that makes me feel a bit weird watching two. But he had his fight and I just thought, wow, the hits he's taking to the head. I could just, unbelievable.
We did I think you know this, but because we were doing this, Chris and I, who I write with, we did a lot of research. We're writing something about the Victorian bare knuckle boxers, and they used to fight says in the tin, bare knuckles for like 3 hours at a time.
It
stopped. The fight stopped when they couldn't fight any longer.
Wow.
And that's where throwing the towel comes in. They used to throw a sponge in, say he can't stand up. He's fight for 3 hours.
That is pure punishment. Right, I've had some tweets in. You know, this is used to be an agony column. So, you know, I like to keep my hand in and answer people's problems. Not that I'm qualified to do it, but I do like doing it. So Ian tweeted in, said, Tim, should I buy Bitcoin? Wow. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts on Bitcoin. I say a lot. I've listened to two or three recently, and not on them. It just came up as a subject in them with people who are experts, and I still have no idea what's going on with Bitcoin. The only thing I'd say is, if you do anything like that, if you're gambling, which it is a gamble, then be prepared to lose the money you gamble with. Though I have heard, Mark, and I'm so out of my depth here, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, when they take like life advice off you, and we say it's a terrible idea. I mean, taking financial advice off you, I can't even begin to describe what a bad idea that is.
All I try and do with my
There could be one thing worse, and that's taking financial advice off me.
do you know anything about Bitcoin?
No.
All right, so this is what I heard. I'm so out of my depth here. And if you're in finance, like, please ignore this. After I've told it to you, take it in and then ignore it. And if you're in finance,
flush your phone down the toilet.
Yeah, flush your phone down the toilet.
That's great financial advice.
Because I know nothing. But what's happening apparently is that sterling, the pound, used to be the most dominant currency in the world. Now it's the dollar. But the dollar is weakening as we're all looking over at America. What's going on over there? Trump and various other things. And that it's weakening slightly. Meanwhile, a load of billionaires have come in and invested in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. And because billionaires are getting involved, it's stabilizing the currency. More people are more people are thinking it's getting more stability to it. And people are taking long-term bets on it being the currency of the world, like the dollar is now. It's starting to get much more credibility than it's ever had.
I really hope I'm dead before then. I don't want to live in a world where that's the currency. It just frightens me too much. Mark, it's probably because I don't know anything about it.
Mark, I'm going to have to pause the podcast because I've just noticed my battery's on red and I've not got it plugged into the to the system. Professional as always.
Can Blake stick a bit of production in here, can't he?
He'll have to do something. Wait there. I'm just going to go and grab a cable. Right, I'm back. I tell you what, we've been over 200 episodes of this podcast and it never got pro, did it?
No, absolutely not. As I say, I think it's rapidly deteriorated the older we've got.
It never got pro. There was such opportunity for us to make this.
No, I know.
You know, it just never happened. Right, I'm out of breath now. Whew, what are you doing exercise-wise at the moment, Mark?
I go for a run in the morning, although the last 2 days I haven't because it's been so icy. And I go for a walk just before lunch. And then
I've
got a long sort of stomp. We live near these downs and I'm able to walk up to the top where there's a lovely view over London and stuff.
Are you fit? Are you feeling fit?
I feel quite good. I feel pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Laura's tweeted in and she said, when will it end? When will it end?
I mean, if you're looking for this podcast for those sort of answers, really, really, well, really.
I think she's thinking about this podcast. When will it bloody end? We thought when Mark went to prison, it would end.
So you know, Trump pardons me. I'm out.
When will it end? I've end up in these conversations with people. I've got a load of friends in Europe and they're talking about the whole of Europe's in a bit of a mess. Well, not actually. My friend in Norway, they're living normal life now because they locked down. There's a smaller population, obviously, but they're locked down hard. But my friends in Holland and places like that, you know, they're out rioting at the moment.
I know. What, your friends are?
Yeah, not my friends, actually, no. But, so it's kind of a weird time. And every time I look into it and I started reading about whether vaccines would actually stop the spread of this virus.
Yeah.
Bad idea because they don't know. So no. We could all be vaccinated and yet it could still be spreading and being mutating. So it's just like such hard. So the way I think about it is Laura, not to spend too much time traveling. I think I might have stolen that off Paul McGee, but you try and live in the present because if you start trying to wish it away, like if one of my mates is going, my wife wants me to book a holiday in May, what do you think?
They said today, don't book any holidays. They've said that today.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Never again.
I do have to say though, when I saw the Dutch rioting, this is going to sound awful. Part of me was slightly pleased because it's normally us that are doing all the terrible behaviour, isn't it? I was like, at least there's someone else misbehaving and it's not the bloody British again.
Thank God for that.
We're all at home watching Emmerdale.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I never thought in my life people would be getting arrested for protesting and people would be getting hit, like in Europe, people would be getting hit with sticks. Because I don't know if you saw any of the footage. Like some guys are just sitting on grass and the police are just coming up, but they're obviously protesting. And they're coming up and whacking them with sticks in Holland going, you're not allowed to be here. I think they've got a curfew though. That's what
they were writing about. That's what I understood from it.
Thing is, I don't think any of us have got a solution to this. That's the problem, isn't it?
But like with all news, I do exactly what I always do, which is I read the headline and about one paragraph and go, oh, I'm bored of this story. I'm going to read the next one. So I never fully get the news ever.
Do you? I think that's the wise. I just do think the way every time I get involved in it again, I just start getting really. I do find myself because I'm kind of aware. Since doing this podcast, I've been kind of aware of my feelings now, and I do find the anxiety levels rising when I start. Yeah. So I start wondering whether you know whose heart's in the right place and who's doing this and what's happening. And I just thought, I mean, it must be a terrible job to be in government at the moment. But I wonder if the politics of the future. This is a bit Tom Cheese write this, but I wonder if the politics of the future that it'll be split into rather than at the moment you've got conservative and socialism, whether it will be it'll stick in the similar sort of vein. But I wonder if there'll be one set of governments which are saying want to rule with an iron fist, law and order, you know, control the people, and then the other ones are like, no, we need freedom, we can't do that. I wonder if that's what we'll be voting for in the future because I don't know. It seems we're going to be. Oh, you know, I had on my show, I had Simon Reeve on my show, you know, on Sunday Brunch. The guy who travels around and has adventures all over the world. And you just watched him, right, having this conversation with someone in Borneo, and all the production were talking about it before the show. It's really weird, because now you wouldn't take your disease to the Amazon jungle, would you? You wouldn't go there at the moment, because we're carrying this COVID and you don't know whether you've got it or you don't. And I'm wondering whether, you know, it's kind of in the future, whether this mad traveling that we do, we've really noticed the planet's really connected now, aren't we? Someone has it in China in the end of last year. By March, the whole world's got it. We are really interconnected as a species. Yeah. You know, you don't let animal produce or animals and plants travel over borders for certain reasons. You try and stop insects from going because it's disruptive. I wonder if humans, we're going to have to suddenly start going, look, you've got to be tested to make sure you're completely clean before you travel anywhere in an aeroplane.
I think that's what's coming.
Do you?
Yeah.
So have you heard of the European vaccine passport? Because I haven't heard of this, but my mate in Holland told me they're talking about it over there.
Yeah, I've heard it sort of mooted as a possibility.
Can you believe this is happening, though? It feels like, it just feels like, I don't know, it feels, it just...
I still get this weird response when I'm walking down the street and I see everybody wearing masks. And I just think, you know, that you suddenly get that hit of realisation where you go, oh, God, this is so weird.
What's so bizarre is, you remember, 2020, I went on one of my dream holidays to Tokyo. Could not believe everywhere I went, everyone was in a mask. But this was before everyone knew about coronavirus. That's just how they are on their tube system. And everybody everywhere in the street, they're all wearing them. And it was just like, it was really weird watching all these people. And then I saw a few Westerners do it, thinking, that's a bit weird. Why are you doing it? Now, everywhere on our, you know, transport, everything, everyone's wearing them. And I think it's here to stay. I really do. The one thing that I have to say, I haven't had a cold, Mark, all year.
Have you not?
No, because I haven't been anywhere.
Oh, I thought this was a joke. I'm always on edge now.
Oh, I wish I had one there to slide in. It feels like the podcast needs a joke right now, doesn't it? Listen, I'll do one more agony and then I've got my words to do. So the first one, the last one is from... she's got a clever play on her name. It's Emi Jo, emoji. She's done a play. Emoji. Anyway, is being single bad for your view, or is it a matter of relativity? Well, regular listeners to this will know life is a one-player game. Make sure people you add to it enhance the adventure. Don't waste life on those who don't. I feel sorry for young single people who want to get their life started at the moment, because wow, it must be tough out there. I heard, though, the other day, who told me this? A dating woman who had her on Sunday Brunch said that the use of dating apps is dramatically falling.
Well, I expect it is, because no one can't meet, can you?
Because there's only so many times you can be bothered to have some bullshit conversation with someone on an app, I reckon, before you're not meeting up with them. And I think people are maybe getting scared of meeting up. So that's it. Anyway, shall I do my words, Mark?
Oh, please do, Tim.
By the way, have you watched anything that you think we should watch? Any series or anything?
I've watched The Serpent, which was, I thought, was fantastic. Did you
watch that?
I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great. Again, true story. It's about a kind of serial killer who was sort of active in the sort of 70s. And that's really good, really good cast. And at the moment, I'm doing Money Heist on Netflix, which is a Spanish crime thing where they break into the Royal Mint in the first episode. And you think...
I've watched that.
Oh, did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah, and then no.
Oh, does it get silly? I'm on about episode 6 or 7, something like that.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it with the twins, and we didn't. We enjoyed it, but we didn't get into the second series. That's for sure. So,
but I've been watching. I've for some reason I've gone down the road of watching loads of art documentaries, and you can find them all on like YouTube. So I watched one on the Bauhaus movement.
Brilliant.
I watched one on Dada, you know, Dadaists, and I've watched one on Francis Bacon, and then I've watched one on Frank Lloyd Wright, and I've been thoroughly enjoying having. It's like mind muesli. It feels good for you.
There's got to be a joke in Francis Bacon, the Dada movie. There's got to be jokes there, Mark.
Okay, well, I'll come back with one next month.
I feel you've let us down by bringing that to the table without a joke attached to it. You've given me three words, random words.
I have done.
He does give me these three random words, and I have to go into my brain and pick out things that are interesting from them. The first word you did was
that's
fame.
What it takes him a week.
Fame. And so this is my knowledge on fame. A wise man once said, if you're going to be famous, make sure you're proud of what you're famous for. And that cannot be more true than it is now. When if you get just think about this. If you're filling out the forms now to get onto Love Island or something like that, you know, if you do really well on Love Island and you come out and you're a star, you're going to hate it. You're going to feel really crap about yourself because you're just going to turn yourself into an influencer. And then eventually, you know, you've got £1 million in the bank, maybe, if you do well. But you know for a fact, everyone's looking at you going, what'd you do? Mm. It's like, and you can't escape that. And it is true. You know, you've got to be famous for something that you're really proud of. That is for certain. Definitely, that is the way to go. Your second word, Mark, you gave me was pause. And I like this one.
That's not cat's pause. That's pause as in stop time.
It is pause as in stopping time, yeah. The pause is powerful. If you're delivering a speech or during a conversation, having a pause and owning the pause is a powerful tool. It signifies you're in control and you own your own time. You're the big cheese. Do you know who's really good at doing this, having a pause?
Stand-ups are quite good at this. They come on and they say, you know, and they stand brilliant. There. They stand there and they wait for it, for all the attention to be back on them. Yeah, yeah.
Chris Eubank. Is it Eubanks or Eubank?
Eubank.
Chris Eubank. He's brilliant at it, right? You watch him. He starts talking and then he pauses and he looks around, looks at you. No one interrupts him ever. No, when he starts, he just owns the conversation. He makes sure he pauses. And then if you interrupt him, he will just look away and he won't join in until he starts again. And he's great at it. And I'll tell you another time I saw this, which was brilliant, was at the Mercury Awards. And the Mercury Awards, they've got to play all that live music. All the nominations have to come on, play live. And you just see the floor managers going, go to them. And they start playing. And everyone in the room, all the music industry knobs, like, I'm not music industry. Oh, I was actually at the time. I was at XFM DJ and stuff. But we're all just chatting, going, man, whatever, you know, talk about me. Let's talk about me. Ah, yeah. Whatever we're doing. And you know, you're looking at the act because you like it and stuff. But you're like, you're busy talking to somebody as well, because that's the nature of it. And so these acts are playing. And it's always the same at award ceremonies. The Brits is the worst. No one's ever listening to anyone at the Brits. And so, you know, so you got this situation and Damon Albarn came out and you can see the floor manager going, go, go, go. And he just sat there and he waited for the room. And just my mate turned to me and went, how fucking hell, that guy's got such big balls. He's in front of the whole music industry. It was just him and a guitar. I don't know what he was doing at the time. And he just sat and waited.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Right, mate. The last word I've got today that you gave me was dough. And, I thought I'd give the definition of dough first because I thought that was important.
Well, because you could take it two ways, couldn't you? This
100%. So, guess which way I went with it.
You're going to go money.
Of course, I am, Mark.
I'd have gone bread.
Well, interestingly, although it's impossible to trace the exact date of the first slang uses of dough as a term for money, it seems to have originated in the 19th century, since bread was the traditional everyday necessity of life. To earn one's living was to earn one's bread. Therefore, bread became synonymous with money. And it's a reminder why you're earning money. Don't get caught up in working to try and buy a life. You have a life and money helps enhance your life. You can't buy style and you can't buy a life. I thought you were going to say
you can't buy a life, but you can buy a loaf.
Oh, I wish I'd ended it like that. That would have been so much.
Don't worry. That's what I'm here for.
That would have been a much better ending. Right. We've come to the end of this podcast. Mark, it's been thoroughly enjoyable. The midweek, Mark. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to tweet us, you can at Tim Lovejoy. You can email me at lovejoyhour@gmail.com. Anything else to add to this proceedings, Mark?
No, I think I've said quite enough.
Back to prison?
No, I've been pardoned, as I said.
Oh, yeah, by Trump.
me and Little Wayne.
Mark and I will be back soon for a midweek, Mark. For the time being, peace and love, Joy.